Two movies enter, one movie leaves as we watch two no contests. One, a sexy film from the 90s starring Shannon Tweed. The second one, a musical from the 30s that's really short. All today's There Can Be Only One podcast.
In a planetary adversary's battling for supremacy. Sounds like a good way to build up my infamy. Soon as automators sent for me, we headed over to receive our registration forms from the Galactic Embassy.
Yes, may I help you?
Remember me? To escape a global panic, we had to intercede.
Oh, you're here for the battle form?
Yeah, can we get them for free?
I'm afraid not, you'll have to pay the entrance fee.
It was worth a try when we first arrived
yes!
the Mercury.
Welcome to the There Can Be Only One podcast, where we watch two movies with the same title and determine if either or both need to change their title because it has been so darn confusing on IMDb searches. Why do you do this to us? My name is Robert Rao, and joining me today is...
Herman Omega Prime Davis.
And boy, oh boy, have we got one where we feel like we want to do other things, because one movie is an hour and 30 minutes, the other one is only 22 minutes. We are following the accountant podcast on this, not in timeline-wise, but as, like, geez, we got better things to do sort of thing.
Yeah.
This movie popped specifically the No Contest from the 90s popped up in a queue for one of the YouTube videos that I watched where they determine if a movie's good, bad, or good bad movie, and this one was the closest one. Besides, I think we've already covered another one that they had on there, but this is one that popped up that I was like, oh well, I got to see this because this looks awful. So that's where I even heard about the first or the second No Contest we're going to watch. The first one's only 22 minutes. We're totally going to get that one out the way.
Yeah, yeah. I figured we're going to get that one out the way first. You know?
Why am I even tempting anybody saying that we're not? We're totally going to just eat
slow
up that.
I know you want to get to the dice, man, but slow down, Robert. We got to get to Root N. That's what we got to do first. We got to do the old good old Root. Because, I mean, that bonnet she wore on her head, whew, that's like a...
You know a lot more than I do about this.
was she considered a sex symbol back in the 1930s?
Well, she was a singer. The way that they treat singers, it's not to say they don't treat them differently back then, but they definitely felt like if you were out in the public and you were singing in a musical like this is, then they're going to doll you up without a doubt. Like she's probably under at least 10 pounds of makeup that they've applied, even if she isn't ugly. They've Hollywooded her, and you got to figure back in the mid 30s when they're maybe 50, 60 movies total released in a year. You know, they got to like put an effort into the ones that actually get made. And this one's a short anyway, so it's not even like a full length one. It's basically what they should do with movies these days. Or if they don't feel like they got an entire script, hey, let's just do 20 minutes and pair it up with four other movies. I think people would be okay with this.
I would for some of the movies I don't watch lately. You know, I don't watch. I finally watched Into the Warrior's Gate, and I watched Naked.
You watched Into the what gate?
Warrior's Gate.
I haven't heard of that one.
Into the Warrior's Gate.
Into the Warrior's Gate.
Enter. The Warrior's
into,
Gate.
Into the Warrior's
Let's
Gate.
Let's just say the Warrior's Gate.
Okay.
The Mandarin name of it.
Okay.
Yeah, you never heard of it?
No. What?
Well, you're the one that told me about the Warrior's Gate.
This is what you go to immediately when you hate a movie. Oh, Robert, you tricked me again.
Yes, because, yeah, you... And I also watched Naked with Marlon Wayans. Both of these movies are on Netflix right now, if y'all want to
check
them
out. That's
a movie?
Like, he's got a movie... He's got a TV series coming out, too,
yes,
right?
Yes, and just because watching this movie, the TV series should be canceled. Just for him making this damn movie.
Oh, is that bad?
It's kind of old to Groundhog's Day, just very, very bad.
Oh.
I mean, basically the premise of the movie is he wake up naked in the elevator on his wedding day. And he got 1 hour to get to the church and get everything right for the wedding.
More of a speed situation, not necessarily a Groundhog's Day.
Wait, if he doesn't get everything done in an hour, he repeats the process. He remembers everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he remember everything that he could do to make it better. And it keep happening over and over and over again. For my thing, I think he repeated the process for like 50 times.
You really needed to get this off your chest, it sounded like. The other one was co-written by Luc Besson, the one, the Enter the Warrior's Gate.
Yeah.
Teenager magically transported to China and learns to convert his video game skills into the... No. Why would I have recommended this to you?
Know,
why?
But both of these movies could have been shorts. That's basically tied back to what we was talking
about.
Oh,
okay. Was there a point? Oh, there's a point. Okay.
Fair enough. I always make a point.
Yeah, in this No Contest we're about to watch, she's like the star attraction of this radio show. And And they and the way it's described is when the producers learn that her recordings are on another album or another program at the same time, they devise a contest based on the words in a song she sings, in which the winner gets Edding's services at a banquet. So it's almost like a Da Vinci Code, but in a musical Da Vinci Code, where you have to maybe you have to solve everything. What's funny is they didn't even bother like changing her name in this movie. Her name is Ruth. So like they definitely got her for the star power or attraction, mm-hmm. because she is that's her name. And basically looking at the list of cast, it's a member of trio, tap dancing, okay. So what we have here is Bonafide, one of those definite musical things that luckily is available on YouTube, so we can watch the whole thing.
Do you think we could talk longer than what the movie actually is about this movie before?
It's possible.
I doubt it.
Well, we'll see. All right, challenge accepted, because there's a good chance there might not be anything in between here, because I don't think there's a trailer, and... downloading it might not be a problem. I might be able to cut it.
Maybe get a clip for her singing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
there might be. Yeah, because she's also in tons of soundtracks. We looked it up.
Road to Perdition.
Yeah, everybody's got that Road to Perdition soundtrack on vinyl that we can just pull out.
Yeah.
Pull up our, get up on the bed, lift our feet up, just like dangling her hair at the same time, talking to some boy on the phone, just like Herman does, and then
with the old card phone,
It's not to say it isn't a good soundtrack, but does anybody remember anything from the Road to Perdition soundtrack? Do you? You remember that hit song that they had on there? That one by, let's say, Five for Fighting or something. You know, like it was just like a, yeah, we're on that road. Oh, that would definitely be like a Bon Jovi sort of song. Like they would have gotten him in to like pitch hit. Like, hey, we need a hit song to be attached to this movie that we're going to have. That's what we need. Right?
Oh, yeah.
We're on that road! The Road to Perdition! You know. Remember, like, Blaze of Glory? That's basically how the tune I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Yes, Herman is in deep thought about this, so we are off to see the movie. Let us go!
We go, that's the way. If love must have its day, then as it came, oh, let it go.
Hey, guess what? We're back.
Everybody.
the weakest Herman. We're back. I guess we're back too. We just watched the Ruth Etting version of No Contest, a short that came from the 1930s, starring Ruth Etting and the lucky contestant winner that was on there. He must have been someone that was at least somewhat famous, right?
Maybe
you would think.
I think he was a friend of a friend.
Would it have been? Would it have been Johnny? Do you remember his name in the credits?
No, I did.
There's a Johnny on here. There. Nobody else has their picture except for Ruth.
Oh, okay.
If you look at the list on IMDb, she's the only one that has any notoriety on here. if he's famous, he's only been in four movies. That's the only credits that they given it for the other person.
Yeah, because we know it's not Albertson, because that was the other man.
The Albertsons was the name of the
traveling agency.
Yeah, the travel agency. Yeah. And it may have very well been a travel agency back then.
And then became a food store.
Do you think it's the same people that did that? The Albertson Travel Agency would have been?
That would have been a very good tie-in, like Albertson started off like that.
It would make sense that Albertson supported like this entire thing. It doesn't come up with anything except stuff in Montana for whatever reason.
But basically, this movie or this short basically was a precursor to what we see with Beyonce with the the video drops. Like, it's all it was a 22 promo for Ruth Etting. Like, hey, this is Ruth Etting.
Ruth Etting and that travel agency. It was a mixture of both things.
It was about her. We heard her sing three songs in this.
Three different songs.
That's what I mean. Different songs.
And, she sang like the same song a couple of times. That's why I was saying three different songs.
And one song was, her favorite song or her top hit at the time.
Yes.
And so I think it was just like one of them things that I think it was one of those feelings like they used to put the trailers before movies, after the movies. That's why they call it trailers.
Yeah, they were originally after the film because we didn't have 5 minutes of credits after the movie. They actually put everything, all those in front of the movie because That's where they were supposed to go. You know who stopped that? It was Star Wars. You notice that it immediately jumps into the movie on Star Wars?
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole domino effect about what happened when he did that. He basically said he thought he needed the movie to jump right into the action, and because there were so many people involved in Star Wars, he knew the credits were going to take forever, and he asked the Directors Guild if he could move it to the back, and they say, okay, you can do it for this one. And then when Empire Strikes Back came out, they said, so you're going to switch back? And he's like, no, I'm not going to switch back. I'm George Lucas, blah, blah,
man,
blah.
We came up in a good age of movies then, because I just assumed that's how it always been, because I was like... No.
He actually got kicked out of the Directors Guild because of it. Like, he's not a part of the DGA. And because he's not a part of Directors Guild, his first choice for directing Return of the Jedi couldn't do the movie because he is a member of the Directors Guild, and that was Steven Spielberg. So he had to get somebody who was willing to work as like a scab outside of the agency.
So see how that worked? They kicked him out for doing something being innovated that everybody do now, but because nobody wasn't doing at the time and he was being all different, they kicked him out.
It's a union thing. It had everything to do with like getting the name recognition for everybody. And to be fair, you have thousands, if not tens of thousands, of people that work on a movie, and nobody bothers to stick around unless it's a Marvel film because they want to see whatever thing that's at the very end of a Marvel film.
I respect every y'all that brings the movies to me, but nobody pay attention to the credits.
Uh huh.
I mean, even when we stick around for the Marvel, then we not really paying attention
somebody,
to the credits.
I saw somebody do this, or at least talk about doing this on a Twitter account where they will. Do we need to pause this for any particular reason?
You good.
Okay. Where they'll find somebody random in the list, and then if they have a Twitter account, they'll, as they're sitting waiting for the thing to end, they'll tweet them saying, hey, great job working on this movie. It's like a way to, like, hey, you were the production designer on this film. You did a good job. And then it makes them feel good, and you have, while you're just killing time, sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. I mean...
I know I'm right.
Okay, Robert, you're right.
Jesus, man. I don't have to be told that I'm right. I don't need the recognition.
You don't need me to send you a nice little tweet saying good job on the podcast.
Yeah.
Being the director, the producer, the host.
The best boy. Yeah, I'm the grip. I'm
everything. The
caterer. Yeah.
No, you got your own.
Those peanut butter pretzels today. I'm the caterer.
No, didn't you hire an agency called Double R Catering Service?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
There's another tidbit, since we need to be talking about other things because this movie's really short. The Neil Breen films that exist out I think most of them are available on YouTube. He is basically credited for doing all this stuff in there, and by the time he got around to Fateful Findings, there was a whole bunch of corporations he made up, and at the very end of the movie, he said if there was a corporation with either a P or a B in the name, that was really Neil Breen.
Yeah.
He just did not want to keep saying Neil Breen over and over again. And it's just funny, that was his way around it, that he still had to acknowledge that hey, I did this. I just felt weird about saying it. Like when a famous author goes under a pen name, and then they're like, no, that was me. That was me the whole time.
So let me get this straight, Neil. You felt weird about doing that, but you didn't feel weird about making those damn movies?
Oh, man. He's a genius. Why would he feel weird?
Okay,
don't make him feel weird about it.
And I heard he's coming out with another one.
Well, of course. Well, he did Pass Through recently. If he's doing another one, I haven't seen any other films that he's done. But anyway, getting back to the No Contest that we just watched. It was at first a 5-minute ad for a travel agency,
mm-hmm,
before it got into anything, and then them patting themselves on the back about how awesome it to get people out to watch their ad for a travel agency, because you had the radio show, which was one part of it, but it was performed in front of a live audience that showed up just to see what the rest of the world looked like. And to be fair, you might need to convince some people to go overseas around that time. Because we're looking at 34, this is around the time, and you notice, like, out of all the countries they mentioned, they mentioned Russia. They didn't bother mentioning Germany.
No.
Like, because we're already hitting, like, the point where, like, the Nazi regime was starting to take over. So it's like, you might not want to visit there yet. Give it a little bit. Give it a 10 Mississippi before trying to go over there. So it's a way to, like, get people to go from point A to point B. And a good chance they controlled everything in between. Like, it was a very all-inclusive trip. You're dealing, they get either the package to deliver you there, the hotels that you stay at, any of the functions that you do in between. None of it is something you have to plan on your end. And it's still done today, but have you ever done like one of those all-inclusive trips, Herman? Like when you go somewhere?
No. I've been meaning to. I'm probably going to do one coming up next year. Either a cruise.
Cruises seem like the easiest thing to do because you don't even have to bother getting off the boat. And that boat is big enough to where you can do just about anything. So.
Yeah, but I've been telling some people they want to go down to Cabo and stuff. Say that's very inexpensive and exclusive. Dang, can I say that? Inexpensive, inclusive trip?
You can try it 10 times. Go for it, Herman.
Inexpensive, exclusive trip. Nah, I can't do it.
It is. If you get like a group of people, they may even do like a discount. If you know like 10 or 20 people that want to do that, they may even give you like a group rate because they need to fill butts in those seats. And
who knows 10 or 20 people? Who knows that many people?
Well, I'm just saying that if you... It's usually meant for organizations to do that sort of thing, not necessarily like you and your friends. And I wouldn't want to do a cruise with my family anyway. This would have to be like an organization that I'm with that would want to do this. Cruises aren't high on my list, period, because it's not that I don't get seasick, but I've gotten seasick enough times. Even if it's like a huge-ass boat, it's not something that I've wanted to do. But it's funny to see one of my favorite documentaries I've watched was a movie called Goth Cruise, where these people that used to go to like goth concerts now have reached an age where they are now becoming old fuddy-duddies. Like they're in their 30s, their 40s, and they don't want to go to these huge, massive concerts outside and deal with all that nonsense. So they get a group of friends together and they take over a cruise ship. They make up about 10% of a normal cruise line, and all they do is just get drunk and sit inside. They don't even bother going outside the whole time.
That's a waste of time right there. You got to go outside.
No, they don't.
I mean, you got to enjoy the scenery of where you at, don't you think?
You're on a boat.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you're what right. Are you enjoy? I mean, you heard the song about being on a boat. You don't enjoy the scenery. You just sit there and you're on a boat. That's it. That's all you do. And considering they're like they want to keep up with the goth motif, you don't want to go outside. But it was like still about them parading the way they looked and going up and down, sort of thing. But it was nice to see someone take something that they had in their past life and continue doing it, but doing it in a more responsible way, as opposed to going into a campsite and watching people perform. That's something about that. Is very appealing when you get older. I totally understand that. I get it. It makes sense to me. I don't want to keep like sitting in a tent with 10 other people. Like the people that go to conventions, which is something I still do.
Oh no.
And they'll be in a hotel with like 10 other people. Fuck that. I've reached an age where I don't want to sleep with anybody.
Yeah, you got that. No, I understand because like when I was growing up, I could not go to a Wu-Tang concert. You know, an NWA concert or even a Dr. Dre's New Dog concert.
Right.
Because of the implication of, you know, the element that might be hanging around those concerts. Now that we all in our over, you know, late 30s, early 40s, some of the people in their 50s now.
Right.
There's no problem. Like, I went to Snoop Dogg concert, and everybody was in there was just chill.
Like, right, just and they're all, it's cool. Like seated.
Yeah, you know. Like
they don't even stand. Yeah. I can hear the music just fine. I'll just sit here and not bother with anything.
Yeah, so yeah, it is interesting when you say that because I'm like, yeah, you're right about that. Once you get old, it's like I don't feel like stressing out too much.
No, like, there's no point to doing it. We've reached an age where we are set in our ways. So you don't have to keep, but you want to enjoy something with a group of people. And not feel like you're too old.
And I want to end on time because I don't want to be the reason I want to end on time, I don't want to be the person to leave early. Like, I don't want to leave early. Y'all told me it was going to end at 10. And, like, the Hammer concert, I went to a Hammer concert, a New Edition concert.
Mm-hmm.
They ended on time. They started on time.
Did they even bother with, like, an encore or anything?
No.
Like, oh.
No.
Oh, no. We're done.
No, we're done. The only concert that ran late was that Snoop concert because he actually played at the Celebrity All-Star Game in New Orleans and drove up. From the game to the varsity, but we shut down at 2:00, so it doesn't matter.
So getting back to No Contest, because this was their version of a chill out festival for them. Ruth Etting in this movie is the biggest of deals. We brought up Beyonce. She is the Beyonce of the 30s, according to this movie. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants in on this because there is another radio program that outright stole her voice and made her agree to, like, another travel agency. And the Albertsons, the main Albertsons dude is, like, aghast at this. Like, he's dropping monocles left and right when he hears about this. How dare you? I have an exclusive contract with this woman. Why is she on this other radio program? And then Ruth says, tell you what, we're going to one up these guys. We're going to have a contest next week, and the winner gets to have me perform for them at their own private function. Mm-hmm. And they focus in on this one dude who's hearing this at like a, it looks like a bridge club or something to that.
Yeah, like a gentleman's club.
Yes. Like he's
not the gentleman clubs of the day, but a real gentleman club.
Yeah, they're not shoving booties in everybody's face or anything. It's just guys sitting around smoking cigars or whatever.
Yeah, drinking scotch.
Right, and this dude's like, I am the biggest fan. So the contest, and this is a very weird one. You have to take they perform a song, and you have to take the words in this song and turn them into sentences. The ones with the most sentences gets to win her services.
Damn, you caught that? I did not pay attention to that shit.
Well, the whole time she's performing, everybody is waiting for every word. Although she says the same words over and over and over again, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. I just wanted them to turn, and I know like this is just hindsight, turn to somebody who's like a stenographer who's just nailing every word on it, you know, like just typing it down. It's like, you fools with your paper and your pencils, I got this. And everybody else is feverishly writing down the words. He ends up writing close to 300 sentences with whatever the words that were provided and wins the contest. So his huge worry now is, what's he going to do? What sort of function, now that he has the services of the Beyonce of the 30s, what is he going to do to not only impress her, but to impress his friends? And so he's like trying to think of like the best way possible. So I asked this about Herman. If it was Beyonce, if he won a contest where he then had to create a venue to have Beyonce perform, Herman immediately went into, how can I capitalize on this monetarily? As opposed to becoming the best guy in Baton Rouge. He is now is like, how can people pay me money for Beyonce's voice?
Damn right.
It's pretty easy to find like an open area around here. It's just a matter of finding like how many people do you think you could get to a concert.
Well, the best venue would probably be the Varsity.
Right.
Yeah.
Could you limit it to 100? You definitely get 100 people.
I get 100 people.
Would you get people angry at you if you only made it like a weird Willy Wonka like contest where it's only 100 people get to go to this thing?
Yeah, because I could probably get an easy 150 easy. I want to say 200 people. I mean, I could get people to drive from Baton Rouge, from Lafayette. Sure, I could get people from Houston to drive just to come out here for that.
Considering most of the time she performs for like 100,000 person arenas,
mm-hmm.
for her to like be at a venue where you cap it at 200 or whatever or 100, you might be able to work something out with the Varsity where you just say, look, these people are getting in for free, but you can charge them whatever you want for alcohol.
Oh man, they're gonna be nice over there.
Yeah,
shout out to Brent.
Brent. You have an inside, so that may actually help out a lot more. So we were thinking of places that could actually pull this off. And, of course, Herman's first choice was, can I just give her my address? She'll show up.
Yeah.
She can sing a couple of songs. She can, if you like, you better bring her on. And then I come out. That's it. That's all you have to do. Yeah. And then we started getting fancy with it, and then he just started seeing dollar signs. So that,
dollar,
yeah,
dollar.
So,
well, what you say the manship. You got the hookup with the manship.
I would think I had the hookup with the manship, but I've tried this in the past with them, and I barely have a hookup with the manship. Yeah. It is a like because I totally would love to have a midnight movie series happen at the manship.
Man, we need to do the rum for your birthday. That should be like I don't understand why we haven't did that yet. I'm gonna try. I don't even know when your birthday is.
It's in April. Okay. And it's still ways away.
Okay.
It's today. No,
I'm like, that would be awesome.
None. You know. Yeah, yeah. But when I talked to Steven, who I thought that was my in, because I talked about, hey, what would it be like to have like a private screening of something happening? You're like, I'm kind of like winking at the side. You're like, hey, what would? It's like, oh, you need to talk to somebody up in management. They'll arrange whatever. I was like, shit.
Well, I know not.
Steven didn't get where I was trying to get at. I was basically trying to find a way to like
do it, because I went to I want to say a private screening, but I paid to get in. No, it was a ticket giveaway. Hatfield get tickets
sure.
from the manship, and it was a young lady wanted to put a break in Electric Boogaloo 2 on the screen.
Okay,
she have a daughter who was like 10 years old. And she basically put together like a project to show her daughter and her friends like them, and they sold tickets and stuff to get it to the screen. About 50 people showed up total for the shindig. So I'm pretty sure, and it was just her. It wasn't like Manship was behind it. It was her. She wanted to get the movie and to bring. I guess it was for a cause, you know. But you know,
yeah, I guess we'd have to find a cause.
The cause is come on. If they could do the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And then you got the disaster artist about to come out. Come on.
Well, that with it coming out in December, that should be their top priority, is doing a disaster artist room crossover, something that happens either in December or January, especially if and this, I'm not saying this will or won't happen, if James Franco gets nominated for best actor, for because that's there's a reason why it's being released in December. Yeah. I am. It sounds like I'm kidding.
No,
I've seen the movie though. They have an outside shot. It's not. It's like he immersed himself in that role. It's very, very possible he gets nominated for something.
No, and like I know, because didn't we do the room for this podcast?
Yes.
Yeah, and like, and I know I probably talked bad about it when I first watched
you
it.
Definitely did.
But that is one movie that actually, if you watch it again, it is so fucking hilarious.
Right. Right.
And I don't know why. It's just like it's a bad movie, but because it's so damn bad, it's a good damn movie.
Well, the thing is, the Britannia, the theater in New Orleans, has had live screenings of The Room with Tommy Wiseau, with Greg Sestero in attendance, where he was selling his book. Uh-huh. Tommy will hawk his underwear during the thing, but I think they got him for like $1,000. Like it's not a lot. But what's funny, because they showed The Room at South by Southwest, he requires like the ads to show up before The Room, which involves his underwear and like some weird thing he's got like a weird complaint with some other dude or whatever. I don't know if it has something to do with James Franco or whatever, but it's weird to see like a very a mad passive aggressive note in front of The Room that we had to watch. He's like, well, we got to do that because Tommy like requires it. Like he makes you put that in front of him, so it's like, okay, fine, whatever.
I understand.
But yeah, that would be my Ruth Etting, is how, if I could get
how
if
much
I could
did
get
you buy his underwear for though?
I did not buy his underwear.
You did not buy his underwear?
I bought two posters with him signed, like two signed posters with it. They're in my room. So I can dream of Tommy at night. Okay. So he is there. That is as close as I get to it. All right, so We've talked a bit about nothing.
Did we talk more than 22 minutes?
Yes, we are at the point where we can start. We can actually watch the other film and compare notes between this one and the other one.
Yeah,
it's funny that they said no contest when it involved a contest. I know they're trying to do a play on word, but it was totally a contest.
No, well,
contest.
I forgot what we was doing with the podcast. Damn, that's what brings me back. But no, no, it was no contest because. The other contest, no contest. You lost. You can't win. So right now, Root Editing, no contest, got a strong lead on to keeping the damn title of the movie. But we got the nice Andrew Dice Clay. We got, you know.
Janet Tweed.
Yeah, yeah.
Roddy Piper, Robert Davi. It's an all-star cast that we're about to watch, man.
We got Hickory Dickory Dock. The mouse ran up the clock.
Yeah, it looks like he's in full like jerk mode in this movie, too. I don't think he's.
Well, this was 1995.
95. So it would have been right after he did. He became like a big star like late 80s, early 90s.
Man, he used to sell out like stadiums.
Yes, he
like,
did.
A lot of people don't realize Dice Clay used to sell out stadiums.
Of course he did.
Shit.
All right, let's go watch it.
All right.
Welcome back to the Ms. Galaxy pageant. Let's hear from our six finalists. First up, Sorry, guys, you need a pageant pass to get backstage. No, no, a pageant pass.
As Miss Galaxy, I would fight passionately for the rights of minorities and women.
Who will be the new Miss Galaxy? It's time to find out. Judges, the envelope, please.
And we're back, everybody.
Yes. Wolfman Jack back here talking about no contest. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, we just got finished watching the Shannon Tweed version of No Contest, starring a bevy of talent. Why? There were no stars in the sky because they were all in No Contest.
Yes. Andrew Dice Clay.
I will give, because we always look on the bright side for any of these movies. Without a doubt, this movie decided it needed no exposition whatsoever and immediately went into the hostage crisis. Like, there is no time to deal with the Miss Universe, or it was Miss Galaxy pageant in this case. No time to deal with the Miss Galaxy pageant. No time to learn about Shan Chui. They show, like, an infomercial of her, like, being on a TV show. She's a former Miss Galaxy winner, and she's hosting the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They just immediately get into Andrew Dice Clay and his merry band of thieves going into the hotel and taking it over. So there's a very systematic way of all this is taken over. You have the whole Die Hard scenario where you have the thugs, you have the computer guy, and you have the unstoppable killing machine that is his second-in-command, which is Roddy Piper. And then you have Andrew Dice Clay, who is up there cracking wise while he's taking lives. You know, he's doing both of those things, like, immediately. Like, we find out that Miss France wins Miss Galaxy. Yes. And his response to it was, no thank you. Like, this wasn't a Steve Harvey thing at all. He just immediately kills her and in front of everybody. And that was the cue for everybody says, we're getting out of here. And they all did. They all ran out of the theater, leaving five contestant winners and Shannon Tweed. That's all we had left as hostages. There's another person that's among the rank and file. Now, mind you, and maybe this is the problem in general with bad people, but it didn't seem like any of them really cared to be in that situation. They just preferred to be their awful selves, which gets them in trouble more than it helps out their situation. It's like they got bored with the hostage crisis.
Well, these guys was actually mercenaries. Like, they made a point to point out that they was mercenaries. And
sure, they're
not
still.
But, I mean, I know it's going to sound contradictory, but they're not professionals. They're not, they usually get paid to either do a job and that's it. Kidnapping, I don't think really mercenaries do kidnapping and hostage situation pretty good.
Yeah,
they're like the place.
They're eating Hershey Kisses and playing chess. They're not paying mm-hmm. attention to what's going on. And man, I would never hire anybody that was as horny as these guys were, because they're all surrounded by beauty contestants and they just cannot control themselves the entire time.
Yeah.
The next time, rob something where it's not like a vice for these people. You know, like rob a pie eating contest. Yeah, that seems to be a lot easier. Be like, look at all these dudes. I don't want to mess with them.
And when you really know where he was really getting the money from, you kind of feel like, did he really have to go to this extreme to get the money this way? Because he could have got it a whole different way.
Well, what's really surprising is not only how he did it, but I think it was because of all the aces in the holes the dude had. Because mm-hmm. he had everybody on the inside of this movie. Like, they threw out three or four people. One person early on, he had a beauty contestant on his side. I think it was Miss Germany. The winner, Miss France, dead. Follow up was Miss Canada. She looked like she was from Canada. That's all. They had Miss England, Miss USA, and then there was
Philippines.
Was it Philippines? Was the other one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Well, Miss Philippines was the one I thought looked like Tia Carrera.
Sure.
Yeah. But okay.
Yeah, she dies early on because she forgot to hear the rules about the wristwatch thing.
Yeah, that was real stupid. But
yeah, okay. So they're all being held hostage, and Andrew Dice Clay gives them all a bracelet and says, "If you do not leave this area, you'll be fine. If you got to stay within everybody else's range. If you go outside of that area, kaboom!" So they basically Suicide Squad these people. They got to be together or they get blown up. So,
Oscar-winning movie Suicide Squad.
So Miss Philippines pulls a Slipknot and decides to run out of there the moment she can. She's like, "Ah!" And then she jumps and then it explodes and jumps out of the building. And everybody's like, "Ooh, that's rough." You know, they basically turn into Rodney Dangerfield. They're like adjusting collars, like, "I don't know what we're doing here." So
she's on fire. Ooh.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That yeah. There were plenty of one-liners that they decided to cut out of the middle part of the movie. Shannon Tweed is able to use her sexfulness to get out. She gets one of the horny dudes and convinces them to go to the pool so they can have sex times in the pool. But she's like, "Aha, fooled you! I have karate."
She a karate master.
Yeah, she kicks him into the pool, thinks he's dead, but bum bum bum. Turns out he was just pretending to be dead.
Yes.
And she still escapes to a point where she decides to jump into her John McClane outfit. Like she was in a relatively comfortable outfit. She had gotten out of her evening gown by this point, but she moved to like a tank top and Uzi. So she was crawling around in air vents.
Yes, she did. Yeah, I just thought about that. She did do John McClane.
Yeah, she was cosplaying John McClane the rest of the time. Uh-huh. She finds out about Miss Germany being on their side and also kills Miss Germany whenever the wristwatch thing gets back online.
Inadvertently, yeah. She didn't kill her on purpose.
She wanted him dead.
Yeah, of course.
There's a basic killing of every single person that leads up to the killing of Andrew Dice Clay. There's a unnecessary subplot about like it being a wristwatch being attached to a bomb underneath the building that could explode at any moment.
No, it's connected to your heart rate.
Yeah, whatever. It's a wristwatch that's connected to the person, so that's monitoring the person. Like yeah. That's all they needed to have.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they also have, you find out the real reason. Turns out he was under the employment of Miss USA's dad, who is a senator, but also a dirty senator. A guy who was using drugs to help fund his campaign and fund his lavish lifestyle of getting braces for his daughter. I think that's about all they were really saying.
And that's how you could tell this movie fictional, because who ever heard of a corrupted politician?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah,
it's funny. Maybe Andrew Dice Clay worked for the politician at some point. He may have found out that this dude sleeps in diamonds because he only asked for $10 million in diamonds.
It's untraceable,
right? Well, I understand that concept behind it. It's just specifically diamonds, as opposed to gold bullion and supposed to bearer bonds or whatever. He just knew that at night the senator goes home to his diamond pool and goes swimming along and is like, "Oh well, he can get $10 million of that over to me," and so that's basically where he wanted the payment from the senator. So
you know, deep down the earth, they have a bunch of unclaimed diamonds
in the earth.
Yeah,
is that where? Yeah. I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
So Herman's going spelunking.
Yeah.
Later on today.
I don't know. I'm just...
He's waiting for the eclipse to happen. Well, by this time, the eclipse has already happened. But he's going to wait till everybody's backs turn. He'll have 3 minutes to rob the earth of diamonds. And then he will be rich beyond compare. You won't have to worry about any of this.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can wait around for the next eclipse. When's that happening? 2539 or whatever? You know, it'll be...
The last one happened in 1977, huh?
79.
Whew, damn.
But nobody remembered it, so it doesn't matter. Like, for everybody to be excited about this eclipse, I didn't start hearing about it until a couple weeks ago. So,
me too.
So it doesn't bother me that I won't be able to see it or it won't be there. So whatever.
You're not going
to
look out the window?
No, it's my opportune time to go watch No Contest 2 starring Lance Hendrickson and Shannon Tweed.
Yes. But getting back to No Contest 1...
Yeah, they named it No Contest 1 for some reason. That's weird.
Yeah.
Eventually, Shannon Tweed the whole time this is going on, she's talking to the man on the outside, which is Robert Davi. He is a bodyguard hired by the senator to watch after Miss USA because, you know, his precious cargo and stuff. Plus, he's into a lot of weird shit, so it's probably a good idea to protect the daughter. He doesn't need to protect himself. Dobby the whole time, he must have had like some weird sports injury because it really never came into play. He had to use a cane the whole time. Maybe it was a way of saying like how he was able to escape because everybody thought he was just some weird invalid.
No. He mentioned why he had the cane for at the end.
Why?
He was in the State Department and he was on a escort. And, right. But
it doesn't play into anything. Like it doesn't. He's just walking around with a cane. Like he had an injury, so they had to add that line at the end to say like, oh, well, we already signed Robert Dobby, but he got into like he got it from kicking hobos outside of his house or something. You know, like he's just got a limp. And it looked like he definitely was supposed to be more of an action star. Not saying that they didn't hire Shannon Tweed specifically to be an action star, because that's kind of what she does the whole time.
Yeah, she is the action star.
Right. She's the only one that is the
full-on. She's a karate master.
Well, yeah. She, as they put her, she is Bruce Lee with tits in this film. But it's mainly just like a few kicks. She doesn't actually, you know, connect very well, except like the kicking part. It was like kind of a wave to where like the Uzi went out or something. The action was very slow-mo, and it had a ton of squibs. So if you are a fan of squibbing, there's plenty to like about this movie.
Did you think it had one of the John Woo moments when the guy chased Shannon Tweed in the bedroom, and she jumped over the mattress, and he shot the mattress up, and all the feathers flew up in the slowdown?
No hotel has that many feathers that were in that room.
That's what I said. I was like, are they trying John Woo?
Yeah, if they showed a flock of pigeons going by whenever he shot it, then that would have made more sense. Like if Randy Johnson was about to fire a fastball in and all of a sudden all these pigeons come everywhere, that's what it looked like. There's no need. You familiar with that?
Yeah. I got the supposed reference.
Okay, just curious. But yeah, there was tons of it. If you were to shoot up a hotel today, no way there'd be that many feathers.
Nah. I don't.
That's just a waste of feathers.
They don't put feathers in.
No.
Nah, they don't do that no more.
Why would you? That's stupid.
But the most funniest part of the movie was finally at the end, the showdown between Shannon Tweed and Andrew Dice Clay with them fighting on the roof. And I would like to think that they actually fought each other without using stunt doubles, because it was Andrew Dice Clay tried to do a roundhouse kick.
Yeah.
And it looked like a quarter house kick. It just didn't go all the way around. It was just so funny. And, like, it was very. I think they did themselves because they did a lot of cutaways, but it was like. It wasn't that good of a fight. He did better than Steven Seagal, though. I give him that much.
So Herman's problem with this movie had everything to do with the unrealistic fighting of actually using Andrew Dice Clay and Shannon Tweed in a fight instead of getting Steven Seagal as a stunt double for Andrew Dice Clay and getting in there and getting into some action.
Yes,
is what they should have done, huh?
Yes.
He does have a moment like Hans Gruber where he dies off the edge of a elevator as they're like shooting him as he goes down. It felt like this movie didn't have a central other person with Shannon Tweed. I think that was the main issue when it came to the good guys. You had several people that were just kind of helping her along, but it should have just stayed with Robert Dobby, but it didn't.
I think they tried to hype up the computer programmer cop at the end. You know. Try to make a mova element on it, but
yeah,
she
like
just couldn't cross over to me.
Well, that was they were trying to get the cop that had to take a desk job because she shot a kid when he was 13 or something. That's basically what she turned into. She was just she did all the action stuff for Robert Dobby, who wasn't moving a muscle. That's what eventually happened. Like those scenes were clearly written for Robert Dobby, but they're like, ah, we got to find somebody else, so we'll just go with this instead. The bad guys were laughably pointless.
Roddy Piper, to say that he was a wrestler, and I know this, he had to do what the script tell him to do, but he got his ass beat down by Shannon Tweed. Like, it was embarrassing.
That was your problem with it?
Yes. I mean, he got beat down.
No. It was just well, he's got to be, but the fact that these mercenaries were just horrible at their job, like, even if you hire these people to do something, this is what they do. As boring as it sounds, they're still in a situation where they have to do their job instead of not, you know, like that computer programmer who was just in there to move along the exposition at points was just constantly like, beep, 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 done. Now it's time to play some chess.
Yes,
that's basically what happened the whole time. Yeah. It felt It felt like a wasted opportunity more than anything. I'm not saying that that the movie could have been so much better if they were more competent. It just felt like it could have been another thing that could have been improved on. But still, they do have a point where Shannon Tweed at the very end says no contest.
Yeah.
To where everybody would stand up and cheer. So we had the movie title moment. Something the first movie did not have. It did not have that moment where they went, no contest. No contest. I got this all locked up.
No, yeah, but I don't feel like the Shannon Tweed movie was a contest, though. I just feel like it was just, you know.
Go for it. Like, explain your words, Herman. Come on. Get it out. Get your soul out to the radio.
It was no question, no doubt.
To what?
To nothing.
To what?
Basically nothing.
You have a beauty pageant, but it's being taken over in a hostage situation. So you have that connection there. The no contest is not the correct word you want to use for something like this. You want to be able to have like a killer competition, but more action based. So
there you go.
So you're looking at like a Die Hard, but basically Die Hard with boobs.
Killer competition. Killer competition.
Fair enough. There's that's all you had to do.
Yeah,
instead of like, that's not it.
That's
what it is. Piss.
But
you can't do that, Herman. You gotta bring it out of your soul. Let everybody hear it for it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Shannon Tweed, she got famous because she was Playmate of the Year for Playboy for 1983.
Sure.
Which people don't realize Playboy was a big magazine when I was growing up.
Still is a cultural icon.
People, it's a cultural icon. Yeah. I don't think they do the magazines no more.
Yeah, they do. Still exist.
Okay. But like nowadays,
Hobo's got to wipe their butts with something.
Nowadays, a lot of females who, you know, basically get famous because of their body. By the way, Shannon Tweed was a 36C, 25-36 at a peak, which is amazing body. But most females who get famous off their body now, they're doing this whole Instagram model thing, video vixen. I don't know if you are familiar with those terms, Robert.
I'm waiting to get to your point on this. How, more than anything.
Do you think, like, that's, you know, do anybody even, that's what I'm trying to get to. Do anybody read Playboy, Penthouse, any of those magazines anymore?
Yeah, still happens. It exists. It's a thing. Well, what would Hugh Hefner be doing otherwise?
I thought he's dead.
Nope. He's only dead in your soul, Herman, because you have given up on it.
But you know, Shannon Tweed been with Gene Simmons since 1984.
Right.
Been married to him since 2011.
Yes, that is that's the relationship that would break my heart if they ever separated.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, like all the other ones can separate. Big deal. Mm-hmm. Anna Faris and Chris Pratt, that was going to happen. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kristen Bell, if you ever break up with Dax Shepard, hey, that was going to happen. But I'll be damned if Gene Simmons and Shannon Tweed ever separate, I'll just give up on life. Who would? That's the problem.
I didn't know they was together that damn long, though. That just tripped me out. I was like, they really been together that long? They got two kids together? Like, seriously? I did not know that.
Well, yeah. Love keeps you together, man. You get a love like that, something so pure. Of course it's going to stay together.
I have bullshit on love.
So we're renaming the second film, not the first one. The first one keeps its style. The second one, Killer Competition. Yeah. I'm sure there's a movie called Killer Competition. No, but it's not enough to worry. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to keep it. I'm gonna keep my head in the sand. It's going to be exactly the way I thought of it. Herman, can't anybody find you anywhere lately?
I hope not.
Aha! Herman's still underground, finding them diamonds while everybody's looking up to the stars.
By the time this come out, if y'all good people are in Austin, Texas doing Fantastic Fest, look me up.
Do you think I'm going to hold on to this for that long?
No, that's what I'm saying. This is going to be out like in, I mean, from the time we do it 2 weeks from now.
I have a podcast bank. That is
it's going to come out before we go to Fantastic Fest. I'm pretty certain of that.
But I think people want to hear our podcast for Fantastic Fest when it happens, because we need Herman's basically him breaking down we'll be able to hear it. As much as these films I've tried to break them down as an individual, this is truly gonna we're gonna get him to the main elements. He won't ever want to watch a movie again once we get to Fantastic Fest, because the amount of movies.
You said it about Banamathon. You
know, yeah. Well, I tried it with that. It turns out I was wrong. It needs to be an entire week for this, as opposed to what we were doing.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. For another That Can Be Only One podcast, my name is Robert Rao.
Herman the Mega Brown Davis.
Good night, everybody. Started. Now, if you want to talk, okay, now let's hear you talk so we can get it all down.
No, I was just saying, my thing is I go to these coffee houses,
right,
the coffee, and give them different names, see if they're going to spell it like Rupert, Everett, you know. So I went easy today. I gave them J.
Right.
I don't know how. I don't know what the hell to put on my coffee cup.
It wasn't. They didn't just put in the letter.
No, I thought they either put the letter J Y. They're like it's J A U E.
Were they trying to go like go like G E A U X like at the end of it?
Maybe they'd be trying to entertain themselves. So you know, they'd be like, oh well.
Did you get the right coffee? Yes. Did you like piss him off to the point? He's like, oh, you're just gonna give it. Fuck you, just putting everything at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I get the same thing. Dark roast, no cream, no sugar. That's it. Real easy. All you gotta do is just put a coffee in there. So they wouldn't be mad with me with what I'm ordering, I don't think.
By the way, have you checked out the Fantastic Fest forum, The Fiends? Did I invite you on that thing? Because they've actually listed a whole bunch of places nearby that if you're looking for some place to eat, drink, blah blah blah, they've got that whole list down as well as do's and don'ts for the festival.
They got do's and don'ts for the festival?
Well, just like helpful suggestions. Mainly, it's for people who have never been out in public, I think, is what they were looking for. One of the things they point out, because this is just a common case with just about any of these events, you need to wear deodorant, because there's a lot of people that will not. It wouldn't help to have some Axe body spray on you as well to just, like, get the air.
I had to think about it because I'm thinking about the people that I met at Banamathon, so I'm guessing some of the people from Banamathon is going to transfer over.
Yep.
And, yeah, okay. I can understand that.
No, normal etiquette stuff, like they mentioned stuff about tipping, they mentioned stuff about being nice to your waitstaff.
Out of all the things you've seen on the things that do's and, you know, what don't do, which one of the things that say don't do that you like, oh, I gotta tell Herman about this.
Oh, the don't do?
Yeah.
Like, that because he might do it?
Yeah.
Because I guess, don't freak out when you see somebody famous, but you seem pretty cool about that sort of thing.
No,
It's more like the do's that's more important than the don'ts. Okay. Like, you probably, if you haven't, you should be fine on this, because, like I said, it's about public and getting drunk and like lowering your levels. But if you haven't gotten a flu shot in a while, that might be something that you might need to get. It just because a lot of people do get sick, but I think a lot of it's like, I just had 10 shots and I don't feel good. Well, damn you, flu!
Yeah,
you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I'm not, definitely not starstruck. I mean, I'm the type of person that will see, I don't know, Oprah Winfrey or President Obama or whoever, just be like, hey, how you doing?
Well, they've been back in my room this whole time. There they are.
Yeah, so Robert, how you doing again?
That is a great Oprah. Great job. Oh, okay. Let's get started.